to The Chemaine Show. If you love God, love this country, you're in the right place. Take out your podcast app and type in The Chemaine Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Also, check out Podbean for a brand new platform where I'll be going live soon. Guys, my guest today is Scott Kesterson. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Scott. Scott is a backpack journalist, a documentary filmmaker, and he spent 3.5 years in Afghanistan. He was the first embedded citizen journalist in the Department of Defense Embed program and was awarded an Emmy for his videography shorts of combat in 2007. He's worked with special operations units in the area of information and narrative warfare, founded a cultural intelligence consulting company that has provided support for defense and private companies. He's advised senior leaders on terrorism and information warfare, helped next generation programs for narrative warfare for emerging threats, and has led research and development efforts for Five Eyes Nation's R&D teams. Scott joined us for a few days, and we traveled around to Ted's final two concerts in 2022, just recently. And in this interview, you'll get a perspective of Scott's view of what really goes on backstage, how Ted and I interact with people, and what it's like to come to our ranch in Texas and have dinner with us. And there's so much more. But before we get into the interview, I want to talk to you about your health, because guys, now more than ever, we need to take care of our health. And if you've ever felt even slightly under the weather, not to mention having the Rona, if you've ever felt slightly under the weather, you've probably said to yourself, yeah, I need to take better care of myself. I need to stop eating junk food and drinking sodas. I should exercise more. And yeah, probably have some salads. We've all been there. And now more than ever, we got to stay healthy, because if you haven't noticed, things are happening fast right now. And we're being invaded by the southern border by millions of military-aged men since Joe Biden took office. It just makes you wonder, what is going on? We've got the war in Afghanistan and rising gas prices. Inflation is skyrocketing. Some places, the fuel is outrageously high. Some people have to make a choice. Do I put gas in my car, or do I pay rent? All that to say, we got to take care of our health. We cannot let that slip. We need energy. We need focus. And of course, a good night's sleep. Ted and I have been taking some superfood nutrition it's not available in stores, but it has absolutely 150% changed our lives. Ted and our son Rocco all got sick from toxic mold exposure in our MTV Cribs home. And if you want to hear more about our story, you can go to killerhouse.org and hear my version of the story, how I got sick and almost died, and we regained our health. But even years after getting out of the house and we were feeling better, so much better, Ted and I both had 4 different types of mold in our bloodstream, and I also was diagnosed with having pre-emphysema. And even after I'm using the air quotes, recovered, we didn't feel great. A friend of mine suggested that I try these supplements. I mean, what do you got to lose? And that was 6 years ago. And since then, I'll never go a day without them. And people always ask Ted, you know, where he gets his energy from. I'm not kidding you. He's 73, goes on stage, rocks out. And literally, there were a couple of times when we were running low on these products, and I had to order them and overnight them and ship them. And Ted's like, I have to have them for the show. I have to have them. These supplements rock. And if you want to have rockstar energy or just everyday energy to get through what you need to do, Ted attributes his onstage energy absolutely from these products. And I take them every day as there's regular supplements, regular vitamins, but there's also performance supplements. And that's what I take before I teach my fitness classes. They're all natural. They're bars and shakes. And hey, if you're going to do food storage, why not get superfood protein delivered right to your door? So they have products to help with weight loss and energy and sleep and anti-aging and so much more. We won't go a day without them. And if you're interested, you know, there might not be for everyone, but all I can tell you is they work for us and they might work for you too. If you're in pain, you need energy, better focus, or you want to get in the best shape ever, don't buy supplements that are mass produced and sitting on the shelves at grocery stores. These are natural, organic, and healthy products that work. Now, I've been in the fitness industry for over 40 years, and I've seen a lot of products come and go. And I've probably tried most of the big names. I've tried them all. But these products have helped me stay in shape, lose weight when I've overindulged just a little bit during the holidays, had too many Christmas cookies. And they help me concentrate better, have focus, and have amazing energy for the high-intensity fitness classes I teach. And then help me get a good night's sleep. So if you're interested, email me at wildlywell21@gmail.com. That's wildlywell21@gmail.com. And then also put down in that email what you want help with. Weight loss, energy, anti-aging, performance. And we can get you targeted to the products that best suit you. There are hundreds of different products. So again, email me at wildlywell21@gmail.com. Okay, here's my interview with Scott Kesterson from bardsfm.com. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so honored to have you here, sitting just a few feet away from me rather than talking on the phone as we have done for so long.
It is always a different thing, isn't it? I've been enjoying this whole trip because it's been like that, like being able to just sit with people that normally we're on Zoom and we only have it in two dimension or whatever, but this is awesome. So, yeah.
So tell me about your trip.
So the trip's been really amazing. It's the trip just kind of started out, and we kind of rolled back actually to Bard's Fest last year because everyone was asking me about doing another Bard's Fest. And I was like, nope. That's not what's been, God's been kind of clear. No Bard's Fest this year. And then this event came up in Springfield, Missouri, which was Mike Lindell's event, which was the Moment of Truth Summit. And from that point, the entire trip just started just to open up. So it went from being a trip to Missouri to literally now 4+ weeks of traveling point to point. And what really has evolved from that is part of this trip is just finding the one. And I put in my heart, it's like, you need to carry 12 Bibles plus one. And each way we're finding a delivery, as you know.
Yeah. So who have you given Bibles to so far?
Okay. So first, the Bible's important. It's not just a Bible. It's the Founder's Bible. And the Founder's Bible was edited in, one of the editors is Brad Cummings, obviously a good friend. And the whole principle of the Founder's Bible is that it's an NASB 1995 edition with the founders' documents and their stories worked within scripture as it applies to scripture, as their own writings were tying in. So it's really amazing insight into how our founders were so deeply rooted in their faith. So the first Bible went to Dr. Eric Napudi. And that was really special because I worked with him, and it was because of him we had Bard's Fest in St. Louis. And that's how we started our friendship, and just, it's awesome. And he's been just doing so much to try to get things moving in terms of health and even looking at banking options and things like that. So this, the finding of the 12 or finding that, like, the people that are leaning in and really fighting this fight and bringing the message that God needs to be, what God wants to be told. And it's unconventional in so many ways. So, and I just literally, like, I've prayed on it. I had a number of names, and there's still some other names that are unknown. But one of those was actually Eric Napudi was unknown, because I got there and it was just like, now. So I'm like, okay, I got the Bible for you. I hadn't, there was another story that goes along with the movie selection code, because I was kind of like, seek Laura Logan. Well, she didn't show up. Hmm. And the person that came out to stand out and shine and all that was Matt Thayer, who was the producer or the director of the film, and just amazing effort he went to building a film after Laura Logan said she wanted to not be part of it, and what Matt had to go through, just tremendous effort.
So she pulled out at the last minute.
Yeah, she did. It's the last 10 days. Hmm. You know, I understand Laura Logan's standards, and I've been pretty vocal about this. I get it. She was in Afghanistan the same time I was. This is a different type of thing, though. I mean, this is literally a war we're in, not a war we're telling a story of. And, you know, I think Mike Lindell probably puts it on the line the most, that if we don't win this, you're worth your reputation. It's not worth anything anyway, right? I think we all know that. So she made a choice. I mean, it's her choice to make. But the person who stood up was Matt Thayer, and he's just amazing. He's kind of one of these people that have come out of nowhere, but he's a super talented director. He's been doing a number of films and for the Patriot Movement, full films, beautifully done. His cinematography is great. His storylines are great. And there he was. And he had 10 days to fix the film. And he literally did it with his team. They had to take Laura out, go reshoot.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, it was not a small deal.
Wow.
Because the selection code was built around Laura Logan.
Yeah. So how could they possibly take her out 10 days before showtime?
That's the whole challenge.
Now, I know you're probably leaving soon and I'm interrupting an audio-only podcast. But I just want to say it was amazing to meet you. And thank you for the Bible.
Oh, you're welcome. We were just getting to your stories.
Well, spoiler alert. Yeah, such a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, same, Rocco. It's awesome, man.
Sorry to interrupt this audio.
No, no, this is awesome.
Glad you did.
We'll talk more soon.
Yeah, we will. Thank you, man. Awesome. God bless you.
Yes, sir. You too.
And that was Rocco, my son Rocco, who was one of the ones that you were not planning to give the Bible to, but
right.
Go ahead. Surprise.
No, it is pretty awesome, this whole journey, because it's really just listening. I think this is a big lesson in so many ways of listening to what God puts on your heart, right? So we had Mike Lindell. I knew he was one. And we had Eric Napudi. And then we had Matt Thayer. And then the other one was Dr. Frank, who not a lot of people know, but Dr. Frank has been the guy flying around. He's been doing 5 states every 10 days, working with small teams, and literally teaching them how to do the analysis and the verification of the votes so they can create hard proof for the sheriffs. That's the big one, because that ultimately gives the sheriffs the ability, when you find cheating and true fraud, to make arrests and do investigations.
So we know, and I'm interrupting your Bible story, but we know that there are several counties who have said the election was fraudulent.
Correct.
Then what? Now what?
Well, this is the problem. Again, I think Dr. Frank explained it very, very well. What he was saying is a lot of people are focused on this digital hacking, but it's a very hard thing to prosecute when you don't have all of the background in cyber. But when you get to hard data, the true fraud, like this house has 5 voters registered in it and only one person actually lives there, and there was 5 votes cast from this house, but none of them actually live there, that's the sort of thing that these ground teams have been working on to create actual proof that there was fraud in the vote. And they've been doing amazing work, and they're doing it all over the country. And it's so much of it is credited to Dr. Frank, because he has flown around. He even came to my small town in Oregon, where just to meet with a small Patriot group to say, this is the situation, this is the things you can do, and this is how you do it. That's what people need a lot of, and they've been getting.
But it's like we were talking about at dinner, which you came over to our house and had dinner.
Oh, it was awesome. Thank you.
Then we watched the sunset and watch all the deer come in. And
that's even better. All the deer coming in. You have out here. This is awesome.
Yeah. But and you also went to a couple of TED's shows, which I want to get into and your perspective on that. But we were also talking about how, you know, this is a wag the dog moment.
Yes.
And if people don't know about Wag the Dog, I've done a podcast about it. It's a movie with Dustin Hoffman and Heche, which is interesting. And it's about creating a war to distract from other things that are going on. And in the movie Wag the Dog, they were trying to distract from the fact the guy who was running for president at the time in this film had a sex scandal, but they were trying to distract people from. How interesting is it, Scott, that you know, we're helping Ukraine right. with this, I'm using the air quotes, war.
Mm-hmm.
How come we haven't seen any footage of this war recently?
I think that's one of the most amazing parts of this PSYOP is people have accepted verbatim that we're going to go stand with Ukraine. They don't know anything about Ukraine. No. You can ask the average person, what about Ukraine? They're going to be like, I don't know. They have no clue.
But if the leaders, our so-called leaders, say, oh, you know, post the flag, I stand with Ukraine, I stand. We don't even know what they were talking about.
No.
Most of the people who were posting the flags on their social media had it upside down, and they didn't even know why they were standing with Ukraine.
Correct.
But they put out a couple of images, one being, you probably saw this, where there were, I don't know if they were actors or fighters or what, but they had wooden guns.
Yes.
And they looked really bad. They looked like they were defending the country with these wooden guns.
They had one come out today of like the nuclear group leaving the UN, and the big headline was, the day has finally come. We're going to go. And the real tough looking images as they're all dressed in UN blue. Mm. And it's like, what are you going to do? There's so much PSYOP going on, and it's all intended to keep getting people roped in to these very impacted and very deeply driven stereotypes that they've grown up with. So you say Russia, and after 4 years of the Russia hoax and the Cold War, people don't even know what Russia is. They still think that Russia's like the Soviet state. It's not. It's had literally like 30 years to clear that docket and start over. They're actually, and I've said this on the show, people don't even realize, and I just challenge people, go look what it takes to start a small business in Russia. Mm. It is easier to start a small business in Russia than almost anywhere in the world. And here, we're just laden with bureaucracies and nightmares here. So, I mean, the perceptions of what Russia really is are wrong. And of course, you know, as you said already, all this was being done to engineer a distraction. What's two of the big?
I didn't say that. I suggested it.
Oh, I'll say it. I'll say it outright. It's all done to engineer a distraction, and it's for that purpose of one is the election fraud, and two is the COVID issue. I mean, those two are very real and they're exposing them, being exposed more and more to what the truth is. And so this Ukrainian thing, you know, now they're saying like, well, the Russians are shelling the nuclear plant. It's already proven it's not. It's the Ukrainians shelling it, right? But the Americans just buy into this because Americans don't spend time to think. Mm. The cognitive aspect of the American public is literally, to a large percentage of it, dead. And that's what's most disturbing, because once you get there, you can feed people anything. I mean, and we're seeing it.
Yep.
Oh, here's one. A man can be a woman. A child can be a dog. A child can identify as a cat. I mean, what type of nonsense is this? And it's because the American public literally has stopped functioning cognitively. It's that simple. So
okay, back to your Bible story.
Sure. So we had four done at Springfield event. And I've traveled along, and as you and I talked, and you invited me to come down to the shows, which I was really grateful for, and I already knew that Ted was one of those. Ted's name had come up, and this is just very powerful, because this is kind of, it's kind of a new path for me anyway. I mean, I'm just very, very listening, and God's like, here's some names, and here's some others. And so you and I had talked about that a bit, and of course, I had the opportunity to go to two of Ted's concerts, thanks to you, and really get to know you all a little bit, which is amazing. People just don't really know what a great family and what a great people you are. They should. I'm just telling you. So buy the albums. There you go. But it was really amazing to hear Ted's message, because it's exactly what was literally what I was being drawn to and what God was drawing me to, which is you may not like the delivery. That's too bad. It's a visceral, very clear message that's centered in what needs to be done. We need strength. We need to think. We need to stand up for what's right. We need to stand up for what's true. And you can't just sit back and just let things roll you over. And the one thing is, I've gotten to know Ted a little bit, is just how much of principle he's always stood on. And I think that's so admirable. So obviously tonight at dinner, we had the opportunity to share that. And I think he was appreciative of it.
Yes. And you also gave one to Rocco.
So Rocco's an interesting story. I mean, your son's just such a great young man. And as we were talking, it was literally kind of hearing his story and what he was doing. And it just is a person right now who has such a good core to him. And at the same time, and I'll just be candid. I mean, there's got to be some challenges. I'll put it from my perspective. When you're living under the shadow of a giant, I don't think Ted's a giant, but he's finding his way and he's doing a beautiful job at it. And I said there was 12 plus one, right? Mm-hmm. And man, it was just like a flash. God's just like Rocco. Mm. So, I mean, I don't just react to these things because I'll go back and I'll pray on it and I'll sit with it. It was Rocco. And then I had the opportunity yesterday. We had some coffee together and we had a chance to talk about it because those are sensitive issues. I mean, I'm not just walking in going, hey, you know, and it was great to see your response to it because that just kind of confirmed everything. Because your response, as we talked about, just what you saw, the importance of it and where he was in his life. And that was just really warming because it's like, okay. And those are one of these great moments where these sorts of things that we're trying to hear as we try to get closer to hearing God's word, it becomes so clear. I mean, the confirmations don't always come directly from him. It comes from how he works through us, right?
Yep.
And it was just beautiful. So we had that opportunity tonight, which was, to me, I didn't express this up there, but I'm going to express it here. I just thought that was so cool because you had, and this is how God works, father, son, right? Each with two different paths, each with a warrior spirit. One is a young warrior rising up. One is a monster warrior, Hunter. I mean, Ted is the voice of Second Amendment, the voice of hunting, the voice of strength and manliness in our nation for so many ways, and unabashed about no fear, just absolutely just pushes it out there, which I totally respect, and you know that. And then you have at the same table Rocco, and there you have two, and the gift was given uniquely to each one. And that's how God works. And so there's now been given five plus the one. So there remains seven. And I have names to them, but I'm always open to see where God leads. So this is kind of the excitement of the journey here, because this will continue onward up into the Northeast, and then it'll come back down through the Midwest. And hopefully we'll connect with the Navajo Reservation. That's one of my targets, and then on upwards to home. So somewhere in the end of September, I'll be back. So
you started out saying the one. This is about the one, and that's what I told you when we're you and I and Duncan, the Kilted Christian, were talking for I think it was about 3 hours. We were talking, and
I almost think it was five.
Was it? Yeah, I mean, at least 3 hours.
But lots of coffee and stuff.
So lots of coffee.
Yeah,
and I. That's been my motto this past, I don't know, past couple of months, is that I've been so busy, and especially with Ted's concerts and him on tour, and I feel blessed and honored to be able to help him. And you saw me, whatever, I don't even know what it is that I do backstage. I told you, I kind of warned you, I float. I go where I'm needed. And that's how I really see myself as God's child, as, you know, the daughter of the great one, is just to be a floater, to go where I'm needed to go and to find that one. And it's interesting because I oftentimes feel like, and I'm not complaining at all. I feel very appreciative to be on this side and let Ted go do his thing and watch and help where I can and pick up the pieces and, you know, help people. Do you need water? Do you need earplugs? What do you need? How can I help? And it's interesting because a few of the concerts, there was always a woman here or there that would come up to me, and one specifically in Detroit came up and was crying. And she said, I didn't know you were going to be at the show. And I can't believe I get to meet you. And I'm like, I'm looking around, and like what you said the other night when the Special Forces wives wanted to meet me. And I'm like looking over my right shoulder, looking over my left shoulder going, me? You know, like, why is that? But my point in saying that is that I am at the point now in my life, and I feel very blessed that I can go where God is taking me. And it often doesn't look the same to everybody else. You know, a lot of people have to get up and they have to go to work. They have to do those things. But I feel blessed to be able to walk this path and just listen to God and do the things that need to be done, which doesn't look the same for everybody. It's not Ted going on stage. It's not me having 30 million downloads on a podcast, but I do often hear from people, whether it's my documentary that I put out about toxic mold. It's not like I grew up thinking I want to be known as the mold lady. You know, I'm waking people up in that way as well. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to know you, to know people like you, and to be on this path. And I feel blessed.
No, it's a really wonderful time. I mean, we're seeing God's children and coming together, and God's guiding so much of this. I want to hit on that story a little bit you touched on, which was at the concert, because there's three Special Forces veterans, which was really special for me, because Special Forces guys are unique. They're different than when you say SOF or like Special Operations or something like that. Green Beret Special Forces are really unique. They're a brotherhood. And I've been very blessed in my life to work with that brotherhood. I'm not a Special Forces guy, but I have worked with them and I've even trained them. It's just a huge blessing. And so it was, I understand them a little bit and they get to understand me pretty quick. And we have a lot of respect and good synergy that develops. So to see those guys come in, three veterans, it was really nice. It was just a kind of a nice capstone to the final piece. They're all NCOs, non-commissioned officers. Non-commissioned officers are always humble anyway, and Special Forces guys are super humble. So to find that they were asking, like, could you speak to their wives? And it was hard for me to convey that to you at the time, how big of a deal that was, because their wives have put up with unbelievable deployments. I mean, you're talking guys that have been gone for 9 months at a time, every year. And these marriages have held together and they've stood together and they've been through the hard times. They've had to raise the family many times with them away and can't even know where they are many times.
Yeah.
So for one, to ask to meet you, that was for them, that was like a very special gift they could give to their wives. So it was a very big deal that happened right there. And you just brought such smiles to them. And that's kind of what I'm getting at when we talk, and it's the metaphor of the one, maybe it's the small group, but there's a moment in everything. So, and as we're listening and I go back to Rocco, I mean, it was just like, it was clear. There was no question that God wanted Rocco to have that Bible. Okay, that's cool. And that's you, as we're paying attention, the light shows where it needs to, and we pay attention to what God's wanting. And we don't necessarily know why. I know why Ted. I mean, that's not even a question.
Yeah.
You know? And then as I got to know Rocco and his story and his journey, it's like, wow, this makes tremendous sense, right? And it's just a powerful way that as we listen to God and we're following those paths, we're paying attention, it really is learning again what we should have known all along, was how to listen and listening closely and then how to respond. And part of that, at the center of all that, is trust. And that's where to kind of wrap this with your discussion about the event, the one thing that I witnessed, and this is for your audience to hear because I witnessed it, there is so much trust that Ted has in you. Your presence there is very important. And you say, well, you don't always know what you're going to do. Yeah, but you don't need to, because it's the trust of knowing the little things that make it pull it all together. You just kind of, it's like stitching up those final little pieces. And I just, from what I witnessed, your presence there with him, that fulfills him. And isn't that biblical? Right? Isn't that truly biblical?
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing. And so I talk about this a lot on the show, where it's such a blessing to walk in and meet people where husband and wife share. And you are. I mean, it's a very big thing to share in that life. You could say, I'll go on your tour. I'll see you when you get back. I think you went to about 90% of them.
I did. And normally I don't.
This tour, though, was special.
This was different.
And we had that conversation back in June where, you know, you asked my opinion and I gave it, you know.
Because we almost didn't. I say we because it is a team effort. But Ted was actually considering not going because of the state of the world and because of some other security issues that we've had. And hence the Special Forces guys at all of the concerts.
Right.
Just panting Please let something happen. Please let me be.
Seriously, yeah, you're right. That was it.
Like I saw that I was watching them and I love it because they take this seriously.
They do.
They really
do. They're on point, on target, and that's what they're there for, and they're very committed to that. And that's a beautiful thing to see. It's a rare trait. We tend to live in a very scattered culture these days. People want things very easy. I've been very blessed in my own journey, like in photography. I worked with a Pulitzer Prize winner, and I've been always around very, very high achievers, so that pushes you, and you learn that what it takes to get to high levels. So when you're around that community in any capacity, it's very natural. And that's Special Forces, Ted, yourself. I mean, just to name just in this story, I mean, this is all high performers. And so you feel that. And that's where the commonality comes from and it's not taking away from anybody, but kind of watching an audience, there's a step and an importance of that message that they're hearing, because there is a lot of clutter. There is a lot of noise. There is a lot of, I'll do the best I can, but, you know, and there's really no buts in any of the,
we don't have room for buts this tour. And I don't know if you probably saw it, and a lot of people don't understand it and don't get it and might be put off by, you know, tagging along with us on an average day. We probably do more than most people would do in a week.
Yeah, I can see that very easily. Well, and I think also, I mean, I want to get on Ted's message, because Ted's raw, and I think it's a necessary rawness, especially right now, because people are so accustomed to wanting to put sugar and vanilla on everything.
Yeah.
And this is, what has it got us? I mean, we end up with a government that's in tyranny. We have ATF knocking at people's doors, bypassing the sheriff. We've got the IRS arming themselves with a small 80 battalions of IRS agents that are authorized to shoot Americans. And here we are with this overreach of every federal agency. And that's what nice and vanilla and peace at any cost and all this soft nonsense gets us.
Yep.
We don't have many voices that are really calling it to the line. And Ted and I talked about that on the first night in Dallas, which is, it's a handful of voices. We water it down of people that are really calling it to the line and saying, this is where it needs to be. And with that, we have to, and I say this for audiences that are sometimes like, ooh, he said a bad word. Well, right. I'll tell you what, I'll take the bad word if it wakes somebody up,
right,
versus having you be thrown in a FEMA camp or lose your rights because the Constitution just got flushed down the toilet. Our country wasn't built in a place of niceness. That's the big misnomer, you know? We are literally we're at a point right now where people have forgotten that this country was built literally on sweat and blood, and where its origins were. And again, we go back to the Founder's Bible. Why the Founder's Bible? And why is that such an important document and version of the Bible for this time? Because our country was actually built, emboldened, and energized through the pulpit. Can you imagine that today? I mean, these were pastors and ministers that were pounding that pulpit about a message of tyranny and what people had to do and how they had to fight it. And it got so bad that it came to a point, which is where the origins of the Black Robe Regiment came from, where literally the pastor speaking took off his black robe and had a colonial uniform underneath and picked up his musket and walked out the door, and every male in there got up and joined him, and they went to the battle. When we had Lexington and Concord, that militia was organized by a pastor. We've lost all of that.
Yeah.
That's
with the 501c3, all of that that has passed for churches, they're not allowed to endorse a candidate now. And that's what's changed. When our grandparents went to church, the pastor told them who to vote for. Mm-hmm. Now they can't do that.
And they were engaged in politics. So as you know, I mean, my channel is faith and knowledge, but it's intended that way. You're going to have a lot of politics and knowledge and difficult topics and applying faith to that. And that's how we have to get back to. And the thing is that when we find voices, and I go back to Ted, that are speaking this boldly, I would bet you most people didn't hear his closing comment and was so important. God bless you. Mm. And in all of this, they missed it. I'm just saying all of them did, but I will guarantee most did because they're all focused on everything else. But because at the heart of Ted's message, it is that very powerful message that you need to fight. You need to stand. You need to get up. You need to quit taking this garbage. Enjoy some great music because it is.
Right. And right. Have fun.
And have fun.
Enjoy yourself.
Right. Get dirty though, you know, and this is where like there's these five things that I'm walking with right now as part of the message on this tour. In addition to finding the one, you know, get right with Christ, which is get yourself in a place where you have intimate and personal two-way relationships with Christ, living, breathing. That's there. Get right with Christ. We have to get to where we are literally sowing seeds. So it's both the physical and the spiritual. We got to get our hands dirty. We got to dig in, sow seeds for this. We have to take care of our youth and we have to take care of our elderly. Yep. That's a must. We have to heal First Nations and we have to heal Last Nations. We're Last Nations. The First Nations are here. We keep calling ourselves a country under God. And it's like,
yeah. It's not anything but right now.
Right.
And so is this not Babylon?
Exactly. It sure is. And then our last one, which I always have to qualify because there's so much mixed feelings, but we have to pray for Trump, but it's not just praying for him. It's like I said the other night, it's like someone says, I pray for Trump. And I'm like, what are you going to pray for his good golf game? Or what are you praying
for?
Right.
That's like saying, I'm going to pray for Biden.
Right. Exactly.
You got to pray the right prayer.
Pray the right prayer. And so for Trump, I mean, what I put out there and what's been put on me is like, we need to pray for a repenting president, one who has the strength to realize that as a nation, he could lead the world through a simple prayer of repentance. And that's powerful when you bring everything back to that. So these are, when you listen to all of that and you listen to that fire and that courage that it takes, there's not enough voices out there banging that drum.
Well, you know, Ted and I have been married 33 years. His message hasn't changed. It's just that in the past year, the past 2 years, people are starting to catch on mm-hmm. to what he's saying. They're starting to hear him because you're right. He would swear and it was, oh my gosh, cover your ears, Johnny. We can't hear that. And now, you know, a lot of people would say, boy, Ted, I really like you. I wish I could say what you say, but I can't. Now I think people are standing up and people have had enough and they are starting to not just swear, but not comply.
That right, not comply and be ungovernable. That's mm-hmm. the two. You saw that, and you and I have talked about this after the concert, where we had, you know, the 17, like in Dallas, we had the 17-year-old or 16-year-old yeah. on one side and the 65 or 70-year-old grandma on the other, literally getting into the concert. It's also the empowerment of people as they start to feel that. And that's where, quite frankly, his music's the only one that can do it because it gets people going and energized and realizing like, do not comply. That's where we have to be.
Yep.
And they have to have the strength. So I think your tour, I've told Ted this, I'm telling you this. I don't think there was a more important tour in his lifetime than what he just did because the country needed it so much. Mm. They needed to be fed. And yeah. there's just not enough feeding of that strong warrior place in people.
Yep. Well, Scott, I could talk to you forever. And I probably will be talking to you later tonight and yeah. tomorrow morning and everything on the phone. What's your takeaway from this few days with us, with the Nugent family?
So this is I'll tell you.
Okay.
I think that there's a deep story with who you are that, And in the front of seeing Ted as the fighter, they miss you as the nurturer and they miss the Nugents as a beautiful family. They also, there is an unbelievable, as people get to know Ted and you, there's a passion for what's right. And there's a love of this country. And there's a desire to see more people stand for what is right. That's the big takeaway. And it's really wonderful to see it at every level. I mean, you've allowed me into your lives and I just really appreciate that. I've had a chance to like sit with you in coffee. I've had a chance to talk with you at the concert, see behind the concert, see how the whole team works at the event and be here at your table at dinner. And those are amazing gifts. And it's something that if that people can take that away, when you listen to those guitar riffs going on, there is a whole layer of real, of depth, of passion, of love of country and family mm-hmm. that sits behind that. And I think that's the richness. And with that, there is Ted and there is you. And you are the one that holds it all together. That's just it. And it's awesome.
Well, I try. There's a meme with a little girl trying to catch a ball and she doesn't catch it. That's sometimes how I feel, but it is really important. And I think more than ever, we need more people to stand with us, more people to have your voice, more people to have Ted's voice and his courage, more people to be bold and brave and warriors.
And that's just it. We need strong men. To be very honest, I mean, I'm not, and I say this so many times, we're so blessed to have the strong women that we do in this nation, but this is time, we strong men stand up. So great few days with you all, great music, great experience. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for joining me on my podcast.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you did, please share it because that's how we go for the one person who has eyes to see and ears to hear, the one person who can wake up others. Somebody probably did that for you. Somebody probably started talking to you and said, hey, listen to this. If this has helped you at all, if listening to any of these podcasts, I interview a lot of different people from my husband, Ted Nugent, to 107, and so many others. And if they've helped you in any way, please share this with somebody else because we need more of the one. We need people who are fighters, strong men and women who will not back down. Guys, these are exciting times and scary times for sure. But as Esther 4:14 says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. That hits home for me, and it helps me to stay focused and keep fighting this good fight. And by fighting this good fight, I don't mean fist fights, hand-to-hand combat. I mean, don't back down. Wherever you have a voice, and if this is the place where God has put me, I'm in the point in my life where I'm following God's guidance. And for now, I'm going to be doing these podcasts twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, to help wake people up. Stay in the fight, get prepared, find the thing that makes your heart sing, and you'll be happier and healthier. All right. Love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.